Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button to edge God in to your life. Join us at edgegodin.com for more podcasts. Our mission here is simple: to champion human potential in Christ, to champion your human potential in Christ. Today's podcast is a fun one. It's entitled, Are You a Buffalo or a Cow? Stay with us to find out what the heck does that mean. Let's start with prayer, and we're going to jump in and you'll find out. Sweet Jesus, we just thank you so much for another gift of life today. Thank you that you are not the God of confusion, but you are the God of peace, the God of clarity, the God of calm in the midst of the storm, the God of generosity and love in the midst of chaos. We give you permission to override the emotional state that often catches us off guard, that flips us in less than 125 thousandths of a second from love and confidence into fear, anxiety, and confusion. We bind, rebuke, and we cast out the serpent's control in our minds over our birthright in you, being born anew in you, which is a life to the fullest, a life of peace and confidence. Give us the strength to resist the devil that prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour us. And he's constantly looking to devour us, Lord. So we pray that your perfect love would cast out all fear. Give us the strength to run toward the battlefield line, to run through the eye of the storm with confidence like David had with Goliath, like Daniel had in the lion's den. We give you permission to override us when we're following the shiny objects that are linked to fear and doubt. Resurrect within us that David mentality so that we don't fear any Goliath that surrounds us. We love you, Lord, and we pray for the grace and the faith of Lazarus moving forward easily and naturally. In your name, we claim victory. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I am joined again by a dear friend and colleague of mine, Jen Klopek. Jen, thank you so much for jumping in. This is a spontaneous recording that we decided to do after a personal conversation that we were having. And we said, hey, let's jump on and do a podcast about this. Perhaps it will strengthen and edify other people. So Jen, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Lauren. We had such fun by ourselves discussing this. And thank you for inviting the audience along to hear what we had to say about some of the stuff that's going on in the world today. So thank you so much for allowing me to be your guest.
Yeah, and to pull back the curtain into our personal conversation we were having before we jumped on this podcast, I was sharing with Jen and she was sharing with me our experiences, our recent experiences, mine going to Costco and hers going to another store where it was mayhem. When I went to Costco just a couple days ago, there were people fighting in the parking lot. Every cart was taken. There was a sense of despair and fear that filled the entire building. People had worried looks upon their faces as they quickly grabbed and stuffed their carts full of stuff that they felt they needed to feel safer during these times. And I just grabbed a couple bags and put it on my shoulders and said, hey, whatever I can get off my grocery list, I'm going to put them in the bags because there's no room for and there's not any cart available. So I did, and I got a few things that I needed to get, and I finagled my way through the different carts and found myself in a line that the other carts couldn't get to because of gridlock. That's the New Yorker me coming out here in Colorado. And as I was standing there, it was very interesting because I was standing between two people, the person in front of me, and I started to chat about the water that people were getting, and he turned to me and said, it's so interesting because there's not a water shortage as far as I know. And then we began to chat about my thoughts on what was going on. And I said, I think it's spiritual warfare, if you want me to be straight up with you. Fear is literally winning over that faith factor. And so he was kind of looking at me. And then behind me, the woman was listening in and she jumped in between us. She goes, it's a total spiritual warfare. Satan is attacking us and just throwing us into fear so that we could be unproductive for God. He's shutting us down. And she said, I won't stand for it. And Jen, what was your experience like? It's pretty funny.
My goodness. Similar. I knew, Lauren, there was, you know, a toilet paper shortage. We've all heard that in these last couple of days, toilet paper, hand sanitizer. So in all confession, I was going to Trader Joe's. I absolutely love these little chocolate hazelnut biscottis that they have. And I just ran out of a box. So I was going to go and buy another box. And while I was there, I walked in. Well, first of all, the parking lot was a lot more crowded than normal the time of the day that I went. And I thought, this is interesting. What's going on? And then I walked into the store and immediately out of the left corner of my eye, I noticed the shelving where they keep their shelf stable food, such as beans and canned goods and those sort of things. And literally nothing gone. So
wow,
I just proceeded to go through the store, frozen food.
Panic evokes panic.
Yeah. And so, Lauren, I mean, I wasn't going to hoard biscottis, but then
fear
I thought,
evokes
man,
fear.
I'm getting five containers of biscottis, and then I got my carrots and my blueberries and the other things that, you know, I needed. But it was just, and it's like you said, I really wasn't panicking until I saw other people and their behaviors and how they were reacting. And I thought, should I be reacting in that manner? And then I thought, you know what? He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And really that's been something that I tell myself quite often. And he who is in the world is invoking, like you said, this fear and this scarcity mindset and just having a field day right now, a literal field day.
Yeah. It's interesting. I heard from a priest friend of mine today, he said that fear is the signature of the devil. Mm. And it can wreak behaviors beyond our comprehension. The average IQ of Americans is 100, about 100. Mm-hmm. Einstein was rocking about 125, supposedly, or around that zone. When a human being is in a place of fear or anger, a very strong, strong emotional state of fear or anger, it can actually drop the IQ points 70 points to 70. Wow. 30 points, drop it 30 points to 70. So the average IQ is 100. When you're in that deep fear and anger mode, your IQ drops about 30 points. Now 70 is the actual point range for people who are experiencing extreme cognitive dysfunction. Mm-hmm. The old phrase that people would use is mental retardation, which is not politically correct today. It's now, I believe, cognitive dysfunction or something along those lines. And forgive me, I don't know the exact appropriate title for it. But nonetheless, to say there's extreme cognitive dysfunction when we are captured by that intense fear or anger. Now, fear and anger walk hand in hand. Anger is actually an expression of fear. Anger comes out when we're afraid we're not going to get something. And this explains the toilet paper roll fights that we've seen on social media, or I heard one recently of somebody grabbing a package of paper towels. Mm-hmm. And the person was said, you have too many. And there was a huge fight over that. So we see lots of different things and hate. And in the background, you'll start to hearing a small little sound, and it'll sound something like this. Mm-hmm. Yay. That's the devil clapping. Mm-hmm. Anytime that he can create separation, dysfunction, chaos, confusion, you're going to hear that small little faint clap in the background. I gotcha. So where does the devil have you today? There's a really cool story. We're going to go over a couple scriptures here. Jen, I'd like you to share that story that we were talking about, which is the title of today's podcast. Are you a buffalo or a cow? And then we're going to bring in some scriptures to create a fuller model of reality. And in all of this, you have a choice point. As I was mentioning to Jen before we jumped on, we have to look for it. And Luke for it is chapter is Luke chapter 4, where Jesus faces the devil. And when we're Luke for it, we're doing the same thing that he did when he was attacked. He fought back with the word of God. So Jen, share that story, because that can be woven into the scriptures that we're going to pull in today too.
Absolutely. It was a story I recently heard, and it's really interesting, and it stuck with me, and I'd love to share it with everyone today. It was, are you a buffalo or are you a cow? I was asked this question recently, and I, of course, out of being inquisitive, said to the person who asked me, what in the world do you mean? And he continued to proceed. A buffalo will charge if they sense a snowstorm coming. Will charge directly right into the storm. And the reason that they do that is they want to get through the storm faster, quicker. They want to be prepared and get through on the other side with things that will equip them. So they take the steps to be able to go through the storm and go through it confidently and go through it successfully. And then on the other hand, the cow's behavior, so both of these are behavior-based, the cow's behavior as it sees the storm coming and it starts running in the other direction. And as it's running in the other direction, the storm's eventually going to catch up with that cow, and it's going to be stuck in the storm as it's approaching the weather conditions. Then it will actually be in the storm of the snowstorm, and it will remain colder, and it will, you think about like comfort, it will be pretty uncomfortable for a while for the cow if they remain in that situation. So, and ask the audience and the listeners today, do you want to be the buffalo by confidently and courageously looking at the storm and running through it? Are you shrieking back in scarcity and fear and being the cow and running in the other direction during these times?
I love that, because again, it speaks to that choice point. Jen and I do a lot of coaching together, same methodology in Sherpa executive coaching and facilitating. And one of the things that we do emphasize is focusing on behavior and a choice point that you have. How's that working for you? How's your behavior working for you? Is it evoking a sense of peace and calm in the Lord? Or is it evoking panic and chaos and confusion? Because that will pull back the curtain and let you, it'll reveal the source of who you're entertaining between your two ears. Are you entertaining the voice of God, or are you entertaining the voice of the serpent? Did God really say that, as he says to Adam and Eve? He gets us to be in a state of confusion. He did the same thing with Jesus in Luke 4. If you are the Son of God. So he'll throw you into a state of confusion. I don't even know who I am. I don't even know what I need to do. I just need to buy more toilet paper or do more of this, because everybody else is doing that. Be wise. There's a difference from being smart and taking precautions for your own health and well-being of yourself and your family. And then there's that portion of panic, that the ramifications results in behaviors, ugly behaviors, some of them of which we're seeing. I had another friend and colleagues that I spoke with the other day, and she's Asian. And she was saying how she's being treated totally different. People are looking at her differently and have been, you know, kind of walking away from her. And some people have made comments with the coronavirus as if she's responsible or a part of it. I mean, this is where we see the behavior acted out as a result of that 30-point drop in our IQ. And we know who we're giving free rent to between our two ears when we start to see those ugly behaviors pop out, when we start to get that panic and that greed mentality. I got to have as much toilet paper as possible, or this, that, or, and it's really, there's another group, and Jen, you and I were talking about it. There's another group that I'm observing as well. And that's the group that will actually defend their fear to the point that they will persecute those people who aren't fearing as much as they are. You're not as afraid as I am. You're not taking all the precautions that you need to take. And therefore, there's that judgment. And you can hear that faint clap in the background. Yay. Yay. Isn't that interesting, Jen?
It is fascinating. It is. It's all, and I know you love looking at human behavior. I love looking at human behavior. And I love looking at my own human behavior and how am I showing up in acting during all of this. And I am being judgmental, and
totally.
And we teach this to our coaching clients. The only person you can control is yourself. And so
exactly.
For me, I noticed, especially in that, let's call it the Trader Joe's incident. I was looking at people's carts, and I'm full confession, oh my goodness, what is she going to do with 5 bags of chips and, all this frozen food but judging at that point. And I do want to, for the audience to totally understand, Laura and I are not judging those folks that are doing those types of things. And you have to take precautions, i.e. make sure you have your medications filled and you're safe during these times when there is a little bit of a supply and demand scarcity, as we're seeing right now, as, things are catching up. But it's where you're placing your trust. And I think that's the overarching theme. And for me, when I'm feeling, and I shared with you, Lauren, just these last couple of days, I felt off or weird or eerie. And really what I can do is run into the storm and run into the Bible and read what the Word of God says about the situation. And today I've been studying through Ezekiel, and I call these God surprise parties. When I read scripture and it literally pierces through my heart and convicts me, and it's God showing up, speaking his word to us today. In the very last chapter and the last sentence of Ezekiel, it's Ezekiel 48:35. God gives them specific orders in the rebuild of the temple. And his last sentence that he says to Ezekiel, the prophet, the name of the city from that time on shall be "The Lord is there." Why translated that to, well, the Lord is there, but he's here. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. And that just gave me such comfort and relief that in the midst of the crazy Costco experience you had, Lauren, or the Trader Joe's experience, God's there, he's here. We've got an opportunity to show up in a way and lead other people too in the midst of the storm, as you're running through and being the buffalo. What is giving you that peace and that assurance that you're going to get to the other side and not shriek back as the cow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it reminds me of when I went through advanced cancer, and I was neutropenic. I didn't have an immune system for several years, and my whole family was back east. And so I was determined not to stop traveling so that I could see my family, not knowing how long I had here on earth. So that was more important to me. And it was really a juncture of who am I placing my trust in? And I remember my oncologist saying, "Hey, listen, just wash your hands and put a thin layer of Neosporin in your nose, and you should be good to go." And I did that for 2 years, traveled quite a bit back and forth, very little to no immune system, and didn't catch the flu. And it was pretty rampant when I was going through the cancer experience. And so as we're saying, there's no judgment here. It's just you. Just because you're taking precautions and doing self-care behaviors does not mean you need to be afraid or scared or panicked or stepping into greed or hoarding to the point where you're giving more authority to the circumstance outside of you rather than the strength of God within you. There's another example, and Jen, I appreciate you sharing the difference between a buffalo and running through the storm, because the storm's going one direction and you go right through it, versus a cow having the storm chase you. And one that reminds me of a statement I used to say when I was going through all the cancer and the divorce is, "Dear God, help me to learn how to be a storm dancer." So that my joy doesn't rise and fall depending upon my outer world. That my joy is a constant, because you said in John 10:10, "You have come that I may have life and have it to the fullest." You said in John chapter 15 that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And those were two things I was insistent on focusing on. And it's very easy to allow that sense of panic. And Jen and I both had these thoughts, should I go out and just buy up all of the stuff that I think I need? You're fighting against that sense of panic. Just do a check-in, emotionally speaking. Are you panicked to the point of allowing that joy and inner peace and calm and clarity in the Lord to be compromised. Because then you know who's the landlord and taking up the most space in your head. Jen, can you say the last part of that scripture again in Ezekiel?
Absolutely. It says, the name of the city from that time on shall be the Lord is there.
The Lord is here.
The Lord is here. And Lauren, I just want to jump in. Just what a beautiful, I love you. I always love hearing your story and learn a little bit more about you each time I hear it. But I was thinking of you as you were being the storm dancer. The perfect illustration of you running through the storm is hopping on that plane in the midst of being immune compromised and mm-hmm. taking some precautions, absolutely, of washing your hands and mm-hmm. the storm, but still charging through that storm and mm-hmm. not shrinking back. It's that balance. You know, God gives us a mind of and sound judgment. And we know, I knew today, like I did, I will confess, I threw a case of water in my cart because I saw the behavior of everyone else. You know, God,
absolutely.
Was that sure. sound judgment at the time? Possibly not, but you know.
No, that totally makes sense. And to kind of add on to that one scripture in Ezekiel, the story of Lazarus and the rich man in the Bible is a very rich one because we have two characters here that Jesus portrays in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. It starts out with saying there's a certain rich man who was habitually dressed in expensive purple and fine linen, and celebrated and lived joyously in the splendor of every day. And there was a poor man named Lazarus who laid at the gate covered with sores. Now, to give you a little etymology on the word Lazarus, the original etymology around the word Lazarus means to depend on God's help. That's the original translation of the name Lazarus, to depend on God's help. So there's Lazarus at the gate, and he eagerly longed to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it happened that the poor man died, and his spirit was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, the realm of the dead, being in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus, again, to depend on God's help, the one who depended upon God's help. Lazarus, he looked at him, the dead man, the rich man was in Hades, he looked at Lazarus in heaven and cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue because I am in severe agony in the flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, all the comforts and delights, and Lazarus, likewise, bad things, all the discomforts and the distresses. But now he is comforted here, while you are in severe agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm that's been fixed so that those who want to come over here are unable to. So the rich man said, Then, Father Abraham, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may solemnly warn them and witness to them so that they too will come to this place. They won't come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have the scriptures given to them by Moses. And I just want to pause here, Jen, because even as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, we have the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We have the scriptures. 1 John 4:18, perfect love drives out all fear. We have the scriptures, the one that you mentioned, that God is here. God is in this place. We have the scriptures just as Jesus is speaking about here. And he's inviting them to listen to them. The rich man saying, please send somebody to let them know and warn them. And the response from heaven is, hey, they have the scriptures. Let them listen to them. The rich man rebukes and says, no, Father Abraham, meaning that's not going to be enough. Just that they have the scriptures. They need to have someone from the dead go to them. Then they'll repent. Mm. Then they'll change their ways and seek God. And he said to him, if they do not listen to the messages, the scriptures of Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. So Jen, how do these scriptures speak into the fear that we're experiencing?
Well, it is the God speaks to us, Lauren, through his word, as you just mentioned, through the scriptures, through creation, through other people, through the spirit. And we need, again, my word this year is abide, and just mm-hmm. abiding in God's word and in the scriptures. And every time I hear that story, it just, my heart goes out to the man, the rich man, who's a day late and a dollar short, basically. And we have what Lazarus had, God's word. We all have that. The rich man had that, but turn to look towards, as you like to say in your terminology, that have now coined the bright, shiny objects of the world. Mm-hmm. And just putting hope into that. I mean, we haven't even talked about the stock market yet, Lauren, and what's going on with that. And so people are also fearful of the rise and the fall of the market. And I can imagine the rich man, you know, in the throes of today's society, he probably was watching how NASDAQ was doing and the Dow and all of that. And, where are the Lazarus of the world today? And who do we resemble, you know, and where are we putting our hope and faith in? And learning from the scriptures, God's living word, breathe, you know, God breathed word. John 1:1, all scripture is breathed from God. And so I think in times like this, when you might begin to listen to what the world's saying, or even being wooed by Satan, that it's really important to open up your Bible and read what the word says. And it's applicable yesterday as it is today, as it will be tomorrow, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful thing. It's just taking the time. Like you, I love what you said, and I didn't know that, Lauren. So thanks for sharing that about our IQ level. And I feel it. I just, these last couple of days, my brain's been tired. And it could be this IQ drop a little bit too of, how we react. And so we need to recalibrate, I think, as we go through the storm and really remember what our ultimate focus is on. And honestly, when you look through, I just came out of the Old Testament, so I am seeing how God got, you know, the Israelites' attention and what he did, and even translating that in today. What's God trying to tell us in the midst of this coronavirus? Mm-hmm. Now, could we learn from all of this? Is he crying out to all of us as a nation saying, just turn to me, people, repent and turn to me, as you shared through that story?
Absolutely. And the other hope that we have is knowing and having confidence in that the truth that God does his greatest work in the darkest nights, that's when the rainbows and the roses start to appear. As we've all experienced firsthand examples during 9/11, during Columbine, during these horrific experiences of humanity and walking through them together, the stories of resurrected hope and connectedness are mind-blowing. They're not showcased enough to see the strength of the human spirit to choose life in the midst of death in a loving and kind way. The verse that was coming up for me, Jen, when you were talking, is one that speaks about the baser emotions, right? Greed, mm-hmm. jealousy, anger, fits of rage, malice, deceit. And then there's the invitation, but you, man or woman of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, faith, hope, love, kindness, generosity. So as Jesus said, in the end times, there'll be very ridiculous, crazy stuff that's going on around us. And again, he continually beckons us, fear not, do not lose hope. Many will grow cold and will start following, will spill out of themselves. Jen and I wrote a book called Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You. And it's 25 solutions to refresh your identity in Christ. We get hijacked every day. I get hijacked every day. Every day something will hijack me, and I'll spill out of myself and give power to someone's word or behavior, and I get spun, and then I hit my knees again. And it's this process. You know what I mean, Jen?
Absolutely. It's a and the process really is that sanctification process of becoming more Christ-like. It's part of our journey. And it's good that we acknowledge it and aware it when we do spill out.
Yep. I'm hijacked.
I'm hijacked.
Yep. Yep. Fear evokes fear.
Oh, and as you're talking, you know, those debased like behaviors that, you know, we naturally, as we're fallen, we're sinners, you know, we live in a fallen world, but, and then it just made me think of the fruits of the Spirit. It sounded like that list just, you know, in Galatians 5, which I know you love the first part of the Galatians a lot, Lauren, Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has come to set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. The yoke of slavery for some of us at this point could be fear. It definitely is a yoke, and we can become a slave to it. But God didn't give us that spirit to be fearful. And that the things that we can focus on, and as I'm studying this word abide this year, I'm trying to abide in the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And even in the grocery store, I'm going to have to remind myself of these things as well. And maybe it is, you know, I'm trying to think of what are some practical tips, Lauren, we could share with the audience, you know.
Well, again, and that's a great question. Some practical behaviors or tools to use moving forward. One powerful tool is to set your mind before you walk into a situation, before you enter the grocery store, before you go out in public. Set your mind on a verse that you want to repeat in your mind to hold your feet fast in the Word of God, so that whatever your eyes see or ears hear, that you're already setting your mind on the things of God, the things of heaven. In this world, we will have trouble, but take heart. God has already overcome all that we feel has overcome us. So when we set our mind by choosing a specific verse, like the one I've been repeating today is, perfect love drives out all fear. Mm. Perfect love drives out all fear. Dear God, help me to experience your love for me today. I can't give out what I don't experience. Help me to know how much you love me and how much you're caring for me. And help me to experience the reality of 2 Timothy 1:7. I was praying that earlier, that you didn't give me a spirit of timidity, but of power. And when I'm shrinking back, and even when I'm complaining, which I'm totally guilty of complaining of some behaviors that I've witnessed, totally judging and throwing stones, I'll literally hear the Lord say, what are you doing? You're jumping into the chaos. Your positionality is to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And that's in Colossians chapter 3. For our life is hidden in Christ. We died and our lives are hidden in Christ. Set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. So the scriptures are things above. That's God's love letter to us. So choose a scripture. Perhaps it's a scripture that we've mentioned today, reading through Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, or Ezekiel 48, 35, or 1 John 4:18, perfect love drives out all fear. That's a quick one, easy to memorize. Even if you take that moving forward, dear God, I am setting my mind on your perfect love. Help me to be love. To anybody that is scared or fearful, help me to respond with kindness and confidence so that they can feel your confidence and love in me. Because we are the handiwork of God. We are his ambassadors. And he's making his appeal through us in the midst of this confusion and fear. He's desiring to make his appeal for confidence, for faith, and for love. And to make that decision to set your mind on things above, and before you walk into any situation, to just pause and pray, dear God, I commit to you my experience at King Supers. I commit to you my experience going into Walgreens. Is there anyone in there that you have a word of encouragement that you'd like to say through me? Use me. I'm available. What about you, Jen? Do you have any practical
Yeah, I love, you know, God says, hide, or I, God says, and I've memorized this verse, you know, hide your word in my heart so I don't sin against thee. And this is a Bible verse that I love. And I love what you just said. Just pick a verse. What's the verse today? What am I struggling with? Or what do I need to confess? And then find what God's word says about that and then say it. And so walking through these last couple of days, you know, there's confusion out there. And I'm like, what does God's word say about confusion? And 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace.
Ooh, I want to make a t-shirt.
Yes. That is a good one, because when I get confused, do I buy stockpile toilet paper? Do I do this? I mean, it's Satan slithers in like a snake and a serpent, which he is. And tries to get us confuse us. So, you know, I've been parking my head on this verse for a couple of months now. Whenever I think I'm confused or I see confusion, I just tell myself, you know, what does God's word say about this? And God's a God not of confusion, but a God of peace. So that is, I think the practical tip is what you said, Lauren, is, you know, claiming a verse, praying a verse, speaking over that verse. And then I love what you did in the grocery store line. You took a look around and then you opened up to have a conversation and being that hope or that anchor point or that light or God speaking through you to other people and say, hey, this is a spirit. I think this is a spiritual attack. And then you just kind of drop the bomb and you wait.
And then you just kind of wait.
And then you wait. Is anyone
see how it lands?
See how it lands. And then you were able to have conversation with other people. I do want to share, and I didn't even bring this up with you prior. I just read an article which is fascinating on human behavior, and it is I want to say she teaches at Vanderbilt. It's Marshall Goldsmith. You know Marshall Goldsmith?
Oh yeah, yeah.
His daughter, and I'm blanking on her first name, but let's just call her Ms. Goldsmith. She's a economist, and I want to say she works at Vanderbilt University. And she wrote an article on the scarcity mindset and supply demand and the grocery store behaviors that we see right now. And she said it was kind of fascinating. So when people think of just themselves, they go into those types of behaviors and they hoard the toilet paper and they, you know, the hand sanitizer and all the stuff that we're seeing, she says, but when people collectively pull together, and you were sharing this, Lauren, in love, and how, what can we do as a community during this situation to band together to help each other? She was also a contestant on Survivor. Well, if you think about Survivor, that's a scarcity mindset. They don't have a lot. If you watch that show, they have rice, they have the food that they have, but the behavior on that show was a lot different because they banded together as a community to start the fire and to help each other. And so I thought that was really fascinating in light of everything that's going on when I read that article, as it relates to, as you're going through the storm and the buffalo being the buffalo, maybe charge together as a herd, like they do as a group of people collectively, and not just, you know, on your own, and look to the left and look to the right and see who's around you and who you can help through the storm as well.
That's so beautiful. That's such a beautiful way to end this podcast, is to look to the right and to the left around you. Dear God, show me, before I even step into this grocery store or this public situation, who do I see around me that I can be your hands, your heart, and your eyes to today? Because we forget, you guys, and this is when we get fearful. I do it all the time. We forget whose we are. And this is what we wrote about in Edge God in the book we launched, Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You, because we get hijacked. When we come back and remember whose we are, we can realize the power of Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery to fear, doubt, worry, greed, judgment. Those are all heavy, heavy emotions. And actually, just studying the emotional component of energy and what that does to the field around us, there's something called the electromagnetic encephalogram, and it actually gives a readout similar to an EEG and an EKG of the energy of emotion. And those emotions I just listed in terms of fear, greed, self-doubt, regret, Those emotions, actually, they call flatlining. They barely move. They're heavy and dense. They have a heavy and dense reading on the electromagnetic encephalogram. And the emotions of love, collaboration, openness, curiosity, willingness, participation, enthusiasm, all vibrate with a very, very high frequency. They've done studies that when a human being is able to maintain those fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, when a human being, and this is the science behind this of how our bodies are wired, can maintain that positive mindset, even in the midst of flatlining emotions, it's so powerful that if you can maintain that state of being in Christ, you have the ability to actually raise the energy or the brain waves of the person you're talking to that is in that place of fear, greed, selfishness, self-focus, hoarding behavior, as you mentioned, the scarcity mentality. You can actually shift their energy to a higher level, to the love aspect. They can feel a difference in your presence. Basically, you are the hands and heart of Christ. This is why he had magnetism. He was like a magnet drawing people of all ages to himself because it was refreshing. And we are called to be the refreshment of Christ in the midst of doubting, fearful times. And like you said, Jen, Jesus sent us out two by two. The more we can look around ourselves and less of ourselves, I was again meditating on that statement, dear God, help me not to think less of myself, but to think of myself less. I think it was that C.S. Lewis. I can't remember who said that, but it's a beautiful meditation. So as we're going outside of ourselves in the midst of this fearful time, dear God, help us to think less of ourselves and more of other people around us. And you might say, well, I'm thinking of my family. I'm thinking of people I have to take care of. No, that's good. Think of those people around you. And what is your emotional state of being while you're doing those behaviors? Because that will be an indicator of and an opportunity to shift your locus of control, whether or not the circumstance is controlling you or your relationship with Christ is controlling you. And you will know because, as you mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14:33, John, God is not a God of confusion. He is not a God of fear and panic. So that's your indicator. That will give you an invitation. Oh man, I've totally spilled out of myself. I've done that a ton of times this week. How quickly can you return to the center of your identity, which is Christ? Jen, what closing thoughts do you have for today's podcast before we sign off for the day?
Just got to say, be with other, I mean, that was as I'm sitting here, Lauren, I'm thinking just be with other believers, maybe just even having our conversation today, Lauren, has helped me and us to, you know, coach each other through this or whatever. It's being in communion with other people and just even doing this. Remember how I said it felt all for weird? I'm like, ooh, I feel really, really good now. This is good. It's because we're focusing on God's word. It's like, oh, you need to spend a little bit more time doing that. But just, at the grocery store or wherever you might be, maybe strike up a conversation like, hey, well, you know, is there anything I can pray specifically for you? You might, again, blow someone away or strike up a good conversation. And it's very interesting times. But this has been wonderful. Thanks for the invite. And
absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us today. And I encourage listeners to listen to this podcast again and set your mind to be intentional about 1 to 3 things the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Specifically on, God loves you. God loves you right where you're at, even in the midst of confusion and fear. And he desires to pull you out of that, just as he pulled Peter out of the water by a simple request, Lord, help me. Even if that's your bomb prayer, Lord, help me. God will move heaven and earth to reach down and grab a hold of you and pull you up and out. He will run towards you, no matter how many times you've decided to go out into the wilderness, only to return again to the lover of your soul. God adores you and loves you so much that he wants you to live a fearless life. He wants you to live a courageous life. He wants you to be a buffalo rather than a cow, which is to run toward the storm and through the storm, rather than compromising living life to the fullest in Christ because of fear and anxiety and a scarcity mindset. Take time to sink into the scriptures that speak to you, that speak life into your fear, that speak courage into your anxiety, and that speak clarity into your confusion. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, help. Help us. We have lost connection with the head. We are like bodies bumping around into each other. And we need your help for clarity, for confidence, to be able to put more trust in you than the stock market, to put more trust in you than what we don't see on the shelves, to put more trust in you rather than any doom or gloom that we might be projecting into the future. Override our monkey mind. Sit on the throne of our thoughts. Help us to take every thought captive, now moving forward, and make it obedient to you. We want to experience that peace that passes all understanding when it doesn't make sense. The scriptures declare we can have peace that passes all human understanding. Use us, Lord. We don't want to get lost in the crowd. We want to stand out for you so that when people see our behavior, when they witness how we're responding in these times, that it'll pique curiosity and even a desire. I want what you have. Give us the opportunity to witness in the midst of these times of fear and doubt more than ever before. And just as Paul had his body beaten, torn, stoned, thrown into prison, drowned over and over again, he never reneged on being your disciple. No matter how bleak and dark the circumstance was around him, he refused to give up, but he pressed on and beat his body, made it his slave, so that he could grab a hold of the prize. Give us the grace to go for the prize, Lord, and to grab a hold of as many souls as possible as we're heading in that direction into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that your perfect love drives out all fear. Thank you, God, that you are not the God of confusion, but the God of peace, that you dwell in this land. We depend on your help. Up our faith factor today and help us to return to you quicker today than yesterday when we do get hijacked, Lord. We give you permission to override all the serpents we've given free rent to so that our colors are clear when we stand before you. That we were dedicated, as Paul was, to grab a hold, to run the race, and grab a hold of the prize, which is eternity with you. Thank you that you've already overcome all of our fears that we feel has overcome us. In your most precious name we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jen, thank you again for your time, for your wisdom, for allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you, through you today, to listeners, and to be a part of this conversation. Very grateful for you.
Very grateful for you, my friend. You know, I love spending time with you, so thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for pushing the pause button to edge God in more today than yesterday. It's the ego that causes us to be bodies without heads and to be consumed by our fleshly worries and anxieties. So reconnect to the head. There's actually a scripture that says that. Don't disconnect from the head. Christ being the head, so that you can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Give them heaven out there, because there's enough of the other side going on. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you again on our next podcast, edgegodin.com. God bless you today.